speaker is one of our greatest writers, Frederick Reibel, Raphael won an Oscar for Darling in 1965 and an Oscar nomination for Two for the Road 2 years later. He wrote the screenplay for Thomas Hardy's Far From the Madding Crowd. He's published more than 20 novels, including famously the Glittering Prizes, turned into a six-part BBC TV series, which won him a Royal Television Society Writer of the Year Award. His latest book is Last Post, ladies and gentlemen, Frederick Raphael.
Well, that was not an easy pair to follow, I can promise you. I would have put my pants on if I'd known how good the bowling was going to be. I'm reminded of another occasion when a young man called Somerset Maugham. When I mentioned Somerset Maugham to my daughter-in-law, she'd never heard of him. I don't know whether you have, probably you have. Anyway, when William Maugham was invited on his 80th birthday to address the Garrick Club, the usual meal took place, and then, as with your unfortunate companion this evening, he was called upon to stand up, upon which he did. And he said, "They're problem about being 80 years old is much exaggerated. In fact, there are many compensations." And then he stopped. And all the members of the Garrick Club became very anxious because they knew about his stammer. And eventually Willie said, "I'm trying to think of one of them." I was very lucky in getting to know Maugham, who, as you may or may not know, had a very bad reputation as being a grower and all the rest of it. I, in all innocence, I wrote to him when he was in south of France, and I happened to be there, and asking if I could come and see him. And he said, "Yes, but I don't know how you're going to get here unless you've got a bicycle." So I said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "If you come to the little place in Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, I will have you met." So I went in the bus, and another chap came and sat down next to me. And we sat there for quite a long while, until eventually one or the other dared to suggest that we might be the people we were waiting for. And indeed it was Admiral Searle, and I was taken in the second motor car, which was a Citroen, to have tea with Willie. And he said perhaps he would sooner have a drink. And I said, "No, I thought it was better to have tea." Anyway, he was very, very nice to me, and at the end of the lunch, at the end of the tea, he gave me a piece of paper with the name of the man in Madrid who had opened all the doors. So I put it away, thinking, now I've got it made. When I got eventually to Madrid, he asked how I was going to travel in Spain, or Alan Searle asked him, and Willie said, "He'll take the omnibus." Have you ever heard anybody use the word omnibus? Very, very unusual. Anyway, I did take the omnibus, but I lost the piece of paper which is going to open all the doors, which explains why it's taken me so long to get me on my feet here in this august company. As a matter of fact, I feel as if I've been an imposter all my life, and I think it's quite a happy condition. You don't wonder who you are, you wonder who you've decided to be. When I was a little boy, I was an American. I grew up in New York, and I never had any idea of being anything but an American kid. Remember, we used to drive home from Jones's Beach on a Sunday to listen to the Jack Benny Show. And a joke that I remembered from the Jack Benny Show is this. Jack Benny was held up by a highwayman in a little sketch. And the highwayman said, "Your money or your life?" He said, "Did you hear me? Your money or your life?" He said, I'm thinking. I've always enjoyed America. American humour, and particular American Jewish humour, though not only Jewish humour. On the other hand, there were certain people you weren't supposed to listen to. Then we came to England, and I had to change. My father was British, been born here. He was called up at the end of the First World War, and because he was Jewish, he wouldn't have bacon and egg, or he wouldn't have, no, he wouldn't have something or other. Anyway, he was served with two fried eggs. So a lot of the other people asked him what you had to do to be qualified to have two fried eggs, to which he said, well, you have to be Jewish. So they said, well, don't you have to have, you know, bits cut off? And he said, oh, yes. So, I think I'll stick with the porridge. I sort of was obliged to become British. And I remember very well in Putney in 1938 drawing up in a car next to the old Queen Mary. And I was wearing my school cap. And my mother, who was American but knew her way around, said, take your cap off to the Queen. So I took my cap off and Queen Mary saluted me. Who in this room could claim any accolade quite like that? Anyway, the whole thing about being a writer, I find, is very odd. And I admired two writers when I was younger. One was Willie Maugham because he got on with it. And two was D.H. Lawrence because, in those days at least, he appeared to be very sexy. I don't think he ever was very sexy, actually, in the books. But there's something about both writers which has stayed kind of with me all the time, and that is you don't worry about what other people think, and you don't spend your time trying to make them like you. Willie Maugham, of course, became very popular, but he stood away from the others. For instance, he wasn't rated, as you probably know, by Henry James, which he never forgave. And during the pre-war period, when all of the great English writers enjoyed affecting anti-Semitism and various other comely attitudes, which have now been repeated, Willie didn't do that. He was an outsider who had something in common with other outsiders, and I've always felt the same thing of myself. I don't mean I feel that you want me to be outsiders, because I should resent it very much, of course, but that's how I feel. And the work that I've done has not been to please. In fact, the first novel I wrote, was published by Macmillan, by a man called Alan MacLean, who was the brother of Donald MacLean. And he'd been kicked out of the Foreign Office because of his brother and been found a place in Macmillan. And Alan didn't really think that one should write books that didn't please people. So I moved on from that. Because my main idea in being a writer was somehow to be, not exactly naughty, but a scourge. And I think I got that probably from the Romans and the Greeks. The great thing about that education was that you never wondered what other people came from. You knew what they were, which was that they did Latin and Greek. You probably remember Evelyn Waugh when he was in Yugoslavia during the war. He said he had a great advantage over the other people in the army because he could talk to all the priests because they all had Latin in common. He therefore greatly disapproved when the Pope decided that the priests would no longer have to speak or know Latin. I'm puzzled to know exactly what it is that the English want of you. Perhaps it's only entertainment, I'm not sure. They also, of course, want applause very badly. And they get less and less of it, so they get rather tetchy. We came to England and I became, for better or worse, English, but mainly because of the classics. The great thing about one of my greatest friends, who died long ago, a man called J.P. Sullivan, was the son of an Irish docker in Liverpool. And he used the classics as the ladder out of where he'd come from. That was supposed to be what you did. The sentimentalization of roots is, I think, a great mistake on the part of the English, if I may say so. We're not supposed to have roots, we're supposed to have legs. Mine are very dodgy at the moment, actually. What I think I want to say to you is, But, for instance, it's been a great mistake, in my opinion, in recent years in this country to have an enormous number of prizes. I did write a book called The Glittering Prizes, but that was meant to be ironic. I think that all of the Glittering Prizes tend to create people who write as though they were trying to create prizes. And I think that Kingsley Amis, for instance, who you all no doubt admire very much. I quite like Kingsley, but he wrote a screenplay for one of his books. I think it was called I Want It Now or something. And he did it for my friend Stanley Donen. And when he delivered the script, it was very, very poor. And Stanley asked me to go and try and do something about it. And we met with Stanley, and Stanley said, "You don't realize, can you believe it?" But he did say this, "You don't realize I am an artist." And Stanley Donen said, "I'll tell you what else you are, you're a thief." Not many people talk to Kingsley like that, but he took it pretty well. Anyway, all I can say to you is, it's a great honor to have arrived at this eminence, if it took me a very long time. It reminds me of another story of Willie Moore when he was very old and he was not very well. The doctor came and looked at him and said, "I'm afraid to say that all I can recommend is that we allow nature to take its course." And Willie said, "At my age, that's the last thing I want." Thank you all very much.